Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
Hello. Today I'm going to talk to you about the collection alternative called Currently Not Collectible. The collection alternative is what I'm referring to when a person has a liability with the Internal Revenue Service and they are not able to fully pay what they owe. Now, there are a couple collection alternatives and I will eventually hit those, but today I'm going to be talking about the currently not collectible status that may be an option for people who are having a financial hardship. A person with a financial hardship that they are currently unemployed, but likely to be employed again soon, the IRS may place them in a currently not collectible status for a couple months. But what I am talking about is looking at people who have financial hardship where they are on a fixed income and they're not likely to change their financial situation, then likely what would be good for them is to be placed in a currently not collectible category, and they would be placed in that category, could stay in that for potentially years if their fixed income does not change and the IRS collections would not be pursuing them anymore. There would not be garnishments of their wages or Social Security, and they could just continue to live and not really focus on the IRS at that point. So to determine if a person would qualify for the currently not collectible status, there are a couple steps. And to begin with, I would refer you to the IRS website itself and to do a search for local standard. These are the collection financial standards available on the IRS website. On the IRS website, they update these standards at the end of March each year. So the last time those were updated was March 26, 2018, currently. It would be roughly the same time next year that new standards will be coming out. To begin with, there are several sets of standards, and they are standards for different areas. For example, to begin with, housing and utilities is one set that those are set up for. These are standards set up that are derived from United States Census Bureau, American Community Survey, and Bureau of Labor Statistics data, and they are provided by state down to the county level. You would be looking at the specific county where your client lives, and then looking at their family size, the individuals and dependents that would be claimed on their IRS tax return. That would be the family size. And then for these housing and utilities, we're looking at, we'd be including the mortgage or rent, property taxes, interest, insurance, maintenance, repairs, gas, electric, water, heating oil, garbage collection, residential telephone service, cell phone service, cable television, and internet service. The combination of all of those bills, that total housing and utilities, that number cannot exceed the figures they've provided by county and then by family size for that individual. So first I am looking at Kansas, then at Johnson County, a family of three that would be living in Johnson County, Kansas, they cannot be claiming a total housing and utilities of more than $2,056. Next, there is a public transportation cost. So if your client normally takes the bus, the subway, or other public transportation, their costs currently cannot be more than $178 nationally. So $178 per month is the maximum that they can claim. Then ownership costs for a car, they own a car, they cannot claim both public transportation and the car cost. But if they own a car and they have to pay have a monthly car payment. So for one car currently, that is $497. Two cars, $994. That is the national cost as a maximum that could be included. And looking at the then operating cost, that is broken down by region. I am looking at Kansas, that is in the Midwest. Operating costs for one car is $196, two cars, $392. And for those operating costs, that includes gas, insurance, licenses, parking, maintenance, various other costs like that. Then there is out-of-pocket health care. That is a national figure. Right now, that is $52 for individuals under 65 and $114 for individuals 65 or older. I think this is one area that is very low in what is allowed. But definitely, if your client has higher costs than what is listed as the maximum for the local standards by the IRS, certainly have them gather the paperwork to show that they have higher costs than what is allowed. For example, I have one client who has cancer. The $114 a month for out-of-pocket health care, his costs are going to way exceed the $114. So if he brings in his various hospital bills, we can certainly prove that his costs way exceed what is allowed. And the final national standard is food, clothing, and other items. What is included within that is food, housekeeping supplies, apparel and services, personal care products and services, and miscellaneous. Now, those have individual costs based on the number of people. There are costs for one, two, three, or four persons, and then it just says for more than four persons, you're adding $357. But for example, for one person, it breaks down food, $334, housekeeping supplies, $35, apparel and services, $89, personal care products and services, $38, and miscellaneous, $151, making a total of $647 for one person. I generally just check to see if there would be for a person that they were paying more than that $647, and if not, then we just go with that figure where I don't necessarily break it down to see if they have more costs in one of the individual areas than what we're talking about. Specifically, what we do with those numbers with the local standards, I am going to the various IRS collection information statements. I am looking at one of the IRS Form 433 series. They include Form 433-A, the collection information statement for wage earners and self-employed individuals. That is a six-page form. There is Form 433-B. That is also a six-page form, but that is specifically for businesses. I generally use Form 433-F. That is a collection information statement that it can be used for individuals or businesses, but that is two pages. It generally uses all of the information from those other forms, and it covers the same basic ground that is needed for getting an individual into currently not collectible status. To go through the Form 433-F, for example, to work on that with a client, you would be filling out their information at the top. Some of the information that is most relevant is what is their county of residence. That ties back to the housing and utilities. When providing that to the IRS, they can look up and determine what county that person lives in, and they would be putting in that information that they can't go above those maximum amounts, such as the housing utilities for that county. Next, looking at the putting in information about how many members of the household there are, whether they are under 65 or 65 and over. That again ties into the information such as the national out-of-pocket health care, whether they are under 65 or 65 and over, on how much they're spending each month for those out-of-pocket health care expenses. To go through the accounts for low-income clients, their main accounts are usually checking or savings bank accounts, but the accounts or lines of credit, they list checking, online, mobile, such as PayPal or savings accounts, certificates of deposit, trusts, individual retirement accounts, IRAs, KEO plans, simplified employee pensions, 401k plans, profit-sharing plans, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, and other investments, and if applicable, include business accounts. So I generally work with the client to get the name of their institution, the type of account, and the balance. Next is the real estate, going through home, vacation property, timeshares, vacant land, or other real estate. For most low-income clients, they may have their personal home as real estate, primary residence. We were looking to see if there are any monthly payments for the home when it was purchased, if it was refinanced, then looking at that purchase price, refinance amount, finding out the current value, if there is a balance owed, and then equity still in the property. Then looking at the C column is other assets. That includes cars, boats, recreational vehicles, whole life policies. Generally for low-income clients, they may have one or two cars. We are putting in the description of the car, whether there is a monthly payment, when it was purchased, when that final payment would be due, current value, the balance owed, and subtracting the balance owed from the current value, that leaves you with the equity in the vehicle. Category D is credit card. We list the type of credit card, the credit limit, balance owed, and the minimum monthly payment. On credit cards, that can be tricky. That one IRS argument may be, why is the person paying so much to credit cards, but they're not able to pay to the IRS? That may be something to talk over with the client if they have too much in credit card payments and nothing left over to pay to the IRS, then maybe needing to see if they need to change their budget somehow. But it's worth a discussion.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.